Knees and bony legs scraped faintly along the dusty road. Dolfo Kaler, a man of considerable will. Kurt remembered turning and running in blind panic back into town, his bare feet hammering at the hot, dusty ground. He remembered the confused aftermath, the deputation of 8 armed men, led by Jordan Teague himself, carrying a pump action. Teague striding out of town toward the blackened, stick-like figure, rustling its way along the rutted blacktop. He remembered how they kept their distance from Kaler, well out of reach in a half-circle, watching him drag himself slowly toward them.
Tear!
How they glanced at each other, shook their heads, faces showing a mix of horror, boredom, grim ruthlessness. How they all as one, each of the 8, lifted their pieces and fired. Kurt remembered that all right. Kurt could hear the rasping croak now, the words creaking out through those blackened lips.
The fog! Apart! The fog!
And now there he was, trekking through this savage land at McCandless's heels, following Dolfo Kaler's trail and the trail of all those other poor bastards who had never made it back to Moxon. Never made it back to anywhere. Sure, McCandless was mad. But come to think of it, not half as mad as Jordan Teague would have been if Teague had gotten his fat hands on him. Hiring on with McCandless had been the perfect escape. Except, of course, for McCandless's lousy rep and McCandless's lousy destination. If only he'd headed off elsewhere on the road to the Darks, managed to sneak away on foot, or stolen the truck. If only. But there'd been no time, no opportunity. McCandless had already been able to claw some gas from somewhere, enough to fill the tank of the beat-up, rickety truck that had only just managed to get them here before seizing up completely in the foothills. That was where McCandless had iced the 5th member of the party, Denning. And that was where they'd bedded down for the night. And that was where, burn it all to hell, Kurt should have split. But he hadn't. And he still wasn't entirely sure why. Maybe the vision of riches or weaponry beyond his wildest imaginings had held him to this course, an infatuation with power. Maybe it was just as simple as a belief that when the chips were down, he could get shot of McCandless and Rogan and Reacher. But maybe not Reacher. Kurt felt a vague kinship with Reacher, and take what was there all for himself. Simple greed. Maybe that was it. Kurt was startled as McCandless's voice cut through his dark musings and brought him back to his present situation.
I said, what do you think, Kurt? You listening to me?
Yeah.
Yeah, what? Yeah, you listening to me, or yeah, we're all gonna get lucky?
Both.
Fine. So let's do it. Let's move, huh? Let's get us some of that good fortune.
The thought struck Kurt anew that there was no way McCandless was going to share with him if they struck it lucky, or with anyone. He had, in fact, been aware of that all along, right from the start, right from the moment when McCandless had grabbed him. McCandless sharing, even an 8th? Fat chance. His mind filled with a sudden image of Denning, with just a bloody mush where the back of his head had once been. They stumbled up the road, Reacher in front, McCandless next, then Rogan. Kurt took up the tail. He gripped his old Armalite auto rifle with both gloved hands, left under the stock, right around the trigger guard. Every so often he glanced back, but there was no one there. They'd seen no one since they'd left Moxon. No muties, no cannies, no norms. Nor had they seen much fauna come to that. The odd snake, nothing much else. Nothing that looked at all as if it could wipe out a party of 50 men and all the men who had gone before. Nor had they seen any sign of the steam trucks. No rusted hulks. No nothing. So unless the area they still had to reach, the high side of the mountains, was inhabited, it looked as if the only thing that could have dealt death to all those pilgrims of the past was the fog. The fog that Dolfo Kaler had babbled about. Tear you apart, he'd said. A fog with claws. The wind was getting wilder, a banshee wail that echoed and re-echoed around them. The 4 men had to fight to keep their balance, to stop from being plucked into the air and hurled over the edge of the precipice. They hugged the granite wall, stumbling and staggering onward, holding onto rocks with their gloved hands. Kurt had to sling his rifle, a thing he did not care to do in a situation in which a second's delay in pulling it off his shoulder might be all the difference between life and death. But it was either that or be buffeted by the howling gale, across the road and over into the black abyss on the other side. Suddenly it was colder, much colder. Kurt stared upward, saw snow sweeping in from afar, a blizzard of ice and sleet hurled across the wilderness straight at them. Yet still the lightning flickered and flared, exploding the blackness every few seconds with an unnatural radiance.
Son of a bitch!
Shit!
The whirling maelstrom of ice chips exploded over them, battering them like hammers. Blindly, Kurt groped in his furs, tugged out heavy-duty snow specks, somehow managed to pull them over his head. He pulled the hood of his furs down hard, then crouched, gripping chunks of rock for dear life as another blast of wind hammered across the road with a demon's roar. The wind died as suddenly as it had risen. It disappeared as though it had never been. Fat snowflakes softly feathered down through the air. Breathing hard, Kurt clambered to his feet and unslung his rifle. He stared around, fearful that something might have snuck up on them while the gale had kept them flattened to the rock wall. Nothing. The lightning cast a cyanic glow over the mountainscape. McCandless turned, then stumbled back down toward Kurt.
Blasted nuke shit storm! Ain't seen nothing like it! Ain't natural!
Ain't nothing natural in the whole nuke shitting world, McCandless. Not since the nuke.
Shit, you're a philosopher, Kurt. Come on, move it. Let's go.
They trudged onward, snow still drifting down from the lightning-slashed blackness all around them.
Damn, snow's fallen, but it's hot again. Humid, clammy.
Kurt could almost taste the electricity in the air, like a sharp razor flicking at his tongue. He shrugged irritably. He watched Rogan ahead of him. Rogan, too, had pulled his parka hood over his face, but was now shoving it back up again. The gesture, the movement, somehow angered Kurt. He sniffed the air, wondered idly how Rogan would take it if he suddenly cut loose with his piece and blew his head off. Kurt chuckled darkly to himself. Not very well, he thought. Not very well at all.
God damn. It is so nuke-blasted hot.
Kurt took a bead on Rogan. Rogan's head filled the sight. Kurt dropped it by a millimeter or so. Now the stupid clown's neck. Around in there at this distance would plunge through skin and tissue, shatter the cervical vertebrae, punch out the thyroid cartilage, send the whole head spinning off sideways. In his mind's eye, he could clearly see it sailing through the snowflakes, blood spraying out from the torn underside. Suddenly there was a flurry of movement in the sight. Kurt let the rifle down slowly as Rogan's own piece jerked up.
Hey, God damn it, what the hell you doing?
Thought I saw a movement.
Where? On my fucking head?
Yeah, flea or something. Maybe a louse, who knows?
What's with this stoop? He out of his mind!
Shut it! You want the whole mountain to hear you?
He was trying to kill me!
He's overreacting, McCandless. I think he's gone wacko.
Rogan took a step toward him, the rifle jabbing out. There was a crazed expression on his face. Kurt's own gun was raised again, aimed at Rogan's heart. McCandless jumped forward, banged his left hand down on Rogan's rifle, clamped it tightly. He shoved the piece downward.
You're both crazy. Do I blast you both?
Kurt dropped his rifle.
Don't know what's eating him. I was just sighting, that's all. Seems to me, McCandless, you want to keep an eye on your buddy, or he's liable to do us all in.
Listen! You listen to me!
No! You listen!
McCandless heaved himself at the man, swung him around. He now had his automatic pistol out and was jabbing it at Rogan's face, the muzzle inches from the man's left eye. McCandless's eyes bugged, and Kurt's hands tightened on his own piece. Any moment now, he thought. Any moment.
Shut it! Just shut it!
Hey!
It was Reacher up front. Kurt's eyes shifted from the two men in front of him and refocused on the sensor mutie up the trail. Reacher was standing beside a bend in the road, waving an arm, gesturing frantically. McCandless's grip on Rogan loosened. The .45 slowly dropped.
Around here, quick!
McCandless lumbered up the road toward him, still gripping the pistol. Rogan shot Kurt a black look, then followed. On Kurt's face was a dark smile. The eyes narrowed, the lips a thin, curved line. Kurt shivered slightly, then wiped an arm across his brow. He was still hot. He moved on up the road, keeping to the left side, even though the wind had dropped and was no longer sweeping across in violent gusts. At the bend, he stopped. Reacher was now beside the precipice, pointing. Kurt stepped to his side and stared down.
Caught sight of him. I was backing away. Thought McCandless and Rogan were going to go berserk. Then I'm on the edge, and I look down.
Yeah?
Kurt gazed at what the flickering lightning revealed far down into the plunging abyss. Heaps of twisted wreckage, rusty metal skeletons, parts scattered far and wide along the narrow rock bank of the raging river. Beside him, on his knees, McCandless stared down too.
So that's where they ended up.
Yeah, but...
Kurt swung around to look at the winding road. It narrowed, curved around the rock wall to the left. A blind corner. But there was no one, nothing. No hidden cave mouth from which might erupt a horde of shrieking muties. He sniffed the air. A strong smell of ozone drifted into his nostrils, sharp and heady. He noticed that the lightning had become forked, crackling with blue-tinged flares, tiny explosions that added eeriness to the already strange lighting effect. The sweat was pouring off his brow, and he wiped at it with his sleeve again, inhaling the strong fur smell, as if to ward off that other, alien and unnerving odor.
I don't like this.
They must have been blown off the road. The wind just lifted the whole pack of them, threw them down.
Lifted up steam trucks?
Sure, it happens.
All six of them?
I said it happens! How come you know so much about what kind of traction those guys had?
I remember when Dolfo Kaler went out. It was only a couple of decades back. I was a kid, but I remember it.
Yeah?
Sure, so what?
So nothing. See any stiffs down there?
Well, I guess they'd be picked bones by now.
The acids would eat them up.
Ain't no acids around here. Look at the rocks, Stoop. All around ya. Ain't eating away. Smooth. Look at the road. Acids would tear all that up. Dissolve the surface cover.
Kurt hitched his pack to loosen the straps. McCandless turned away from the brink of the precipice and got to his feet.
Let's go. We got a deal of trekking to do before we reach the top.
Yeah. But you, Kurt... Don't you go pointing that piece at me again, Blaster. You hear me?
Kurt didn't bother to reply. He checked his gun, checked above, checked behind. He watched Reacher head toward the next bend, then moved on up the road himself. The ozone smell very strong in his nostrils now, an ugly, steely stink. He thought about the trucks and knew it would need a fantastic blast of wind to hurl them all over, all at once. No wind, however fierce, had hurled them over into the abyss.
McCandless!
Kurt's head jerked up. Reacher was now at the bend, looking beyond it. Kurt began running. He passed both McCandless and Rogan, his gun held in both hands, his boots thudding on the road's hard surface. He reached the sensor. He stared up beyond him at what lay ahead. Fog. A thick, sullen wall of it, gray-white, impenetrable. And huge. It blotted out the sky above them, loomed hideously high, like an immense barrier across the road. A barrier that seemed to be alive, for it quivered and heaved gently. Thick tendrils stirred and inched out along the road's surface at its lower edge, like questing fingers, then retreated into the main mass. A dull, eerie glow emanated from its heart, blue-tinged, somberly highlighting the immediate area. Kurt gazed at it, his mouth suddenly dry. His eyes automatically took in the fact that it only extended to just beyond the edge of the precipice. There it seemed to fade away, to become tattered shreds of whiteness hanging in the air. That somehow made it all the more unnatural, all the more terrifying.
The fog.
A hand grasped his shoulder and tugged at it. He half turned to face McCandless's glaring eyes.
What the hell is this, Kurt? What the hell do you know about this?
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know anything.
The fog. The fog. You knew this was waiting for us. You knew it. How come, huh? How come you know so much about this? What else you got up your sleeve, Blaster?
Let go of me. I tell you I don't know anything. Dolfo Kaler talked about the fog, that's all.
Dolfo Kaler was shot to shreds while he was still crawling into town. Even I know that, Kurt.
McCandless let go of Kurt, and quickly his .45 automatic was in the big man's hands, pointing at Kurt's face. McCandless held it two-fisted, unwaveringly, his face behind the gun, a mad, glaring mask. Kurt's own gun was held right-handed. He knew he didn't have a hope of jerking it up in time to blow McCandless away before the big man had sent a magful into him.
McCandless, I told you, I was a kid at the time. I was a kid that found him. He was mumbling something about a fog, that's it. That's all. It didn't make sense then, doesn't make sense now. Except there it is, the fog. All you have to do is walk through it.
McCandless's eyes narrowed. Sweat coursed down his face. He lowered the automatic slowly, almost grudgingly.
That's it. That's all.
Don't look like no fog I ever saw. He knows something else, boss, you bet.
Shut it!
The big man moved slowly up the road toward the eddying wall.
Don't smell like fog. Rogan, take a walk.
The tall, craggy man took a step forward, then hesitated and stayed where he was. He stared at the rippling gray-white wall, his mouth open.
Oh, hell, boss, send the blaster or the mutie.
The blaster I need, the mutie I need. Get in there.
Fuck that. I ain't going in there. You go.
You piece of nuke shit, Rogan. Get in there.
Rogan was beside Reacher now. He suddenly grabbed the mutie sensor and pushed him, flung him toward the fog. Reacher stumbled, hit the road, and rolled to one side. McCandless jumped at Rogan, huge gloved hands outstretched, but the tall man evaded him, swinging his rifle and savagely clubbing McCandless's face. The barrel's sight ripped at the big man's right eye, tearing into flesh. McCandless reeled away, clutching his head. Kurt knew it was now or never. He swung his ancient armalite up, but Rogan had danced away toward the sensor, who was scrambling to his feet. Rogan's rifle roared twice on single shot, the bullet slamming into Reacher as a freak gust of wind suddenly roared up the pass. Reacher was bowled over by the impact of the rounds hitting him. Reacher jackknifed and sailed backward over the edge of the abyss.
Stay away from me! All of you, get away from me!
Rogan backed away from Kurt, covering him. He backed toward the fog, seemingly oblivious to its presence. He backed toward a tendril that shimmied out to him like a groping finger. It touched him.
Wow!
Kurt sent a shot at him, the armalite bucking in his hands, but the round ricocheted off rock into the howling, lightning-lit darkness. Before he could center on the tall man again, muzzle flash flared and an invisible fist pounded at Kurt's shoulder, jolting him backward, cracking his head against the cliff face. Kurt blacked out momentarily, and when he came to, he could feel nothing except the chill of the wind, a sudden cold wetness on his face. He opened his eyes and saw huge snowflakes whirling down again, driven by the wind. His shoulder throbbed, and he stared at it, seeing nothing in the thick fur, but knowing he had a bullet somewhere in his upper arm or chest. He found he'd lost his rifle. He was cold and hot at the same time, the sweat freezing on his face. He felt he could stay there forever, propped up against the rock. Focusing on the road, he registered that McCandless now had only one eye. The big man was wrestling with Rogan, barehanded. Rogan had a rock in one hand and was trying to smash it down on McCandless's unprotected head. Where the big man's right eye had been was a red mush that was streaked down his cheek and into his beard, runny with sweat and snow. He clawed insanely at Rogan's face. Snowflakes, hard-driven, blurred the scene and gave it the quality of nightmare. To Kurt, they seemed like shadow figures backlit by the lightning, their cries torn from them by the driving wind. Rogan clubbed down with the rock, smacking it into McCandless's head. More blood. The big man staggered and fell to his knees. Both hands now clutched at his face. Rogan lifted the rock once more, but lost hold of it when McCandless headbutted him in the groin. He booted out at McCandless and rocked the big man backward. He followed this up with another savage jolting kick.
Oh, I'll fucking kill you!
McCandless was on his back, clawing for and then wrenching out a knife. As Rogan grasped hold of the rock again, McCandless stabbed out at the other's nearest leg. The blade sank home. This time, Kurt saw blood sluice out through the rent in Rogan's pants, just above the top of his boot. Rogan collapsed onto his adversary, smashing the rock down sickeningly. For a second, they lay still, Rogan atop McCandless. Then Rogan pulled himself up into a straddling position and brought the rock down a second time onto McCandless's head. Then a third time. A fourth. Kurt could hear very little above the insane shriek of the gale, but he knew that labored gasps were heaved out of Rogan with every smashing blow as he pounded away at the big man. McCandless lay unmoving. Rogan finally collapsed onto him. The two figures began to blur with the snow that thickly distributed itself across the scene, piling up, whipped into low drifts by the wind. The fog still quivered and heaved, as though alive, the blizzard not affecting it, the snow piling up around it. Kurt tried to get to his feet, but he was still dazed by the crack to the back of his head. His boots slipped on the snow-slick ground. It was too much of an effort to do anything but lie there, go to sleep, drift off into eternity. A sudden movement caught his eye. Rogan rolling off the body of the big man, staggering to his feet in a flurry of snow. Rogan was not steady on his feet, but this did not seem to worry him. Kurt watched as Rogan leaned forward and dragged at the snow-covered lump on the road. Snow came off McCandless in a small avalanche as Rogan shook him violently like a dog with a rat. McCandless had no face, just a red ruin. The wind tore at it, rinsing it with snow, but nothing could wash all the blood away. Nothing in the world could clean it up. Rogan dragged the body to the edge of the precipice. The wind had died yet again. Kurt dully watched the snowflakes die until there were just a few big ones tumbling silently down, floating gently out of the lightning-shredded blackness. He saw Rogan heave the dead meat that once had been a man over the edge. And now the bastard was coming for him, Kurt thought. He watched Rogan limp across the snowy road toward him, watched him suddenly stoop, grab something. The Armalite.
Hey, Blaster. Gonna blast you. Maybe I ought to shoot you around a little.
Oh, God damn it.
The shot hammered into a rock inches from Kurt's face, showering him with rock shards as it whined away.
You thought you was gonna grab it all. Old Rogan, he wasn't gonna get nothing. What a way to die, huh?
The mutie had been right. Dead right. Death had been lurking only just around the corner. Their own deaths. Then he noticed that the fog was on the move. At first he thought his eyes were playing tricks. Perhaps it was just the effect of the fog's contraction-expansion motion, the breathing movement that made it seem alive. Then he realized the stuff was actually inching its way down the road, in bulk, the whole huge, quaking, gray-white mass sliding forward with a rippling motion, tendrils of the misty muck questing out along the blacktop.
It's moving.
Stoop, you ain't gonna get nothing. You hear me, Blaster? Nothing! All you're gonna get is a load of lead in your innards. Me, I'm gonna get what's up there, up on top of the mountain. All for me, no share out. Especially no share out with that prick McCandless. He thought he was the Flaming Emperor, but he ended up a carcass. Just like you, Kurt. A carcass!
Kurt watched as the advancing fog sent out its gray-white feelers toward the tall man. He couldn't figure it out at all. Didn't know what in hell the stuff was. Couldn't imagine its origin. Something to do with the nuke? Something left over, maybe. That had to be it. Had to be the answer. He watched the foggy tentacles reaching out for Rogan. Not at all blindly, but purposefully. As though the very sound of the tall man's harsh, jeering voice constituted its target. Like thick cables, three tendrils snaked through the air to clutch Rogan's body and curl around it. Sizzling sparks erupted, half blinding Kurt. Rogan writhed helplessly as though gripped by a giant's fist. He was wrapped in a huge amorphous cloud that solidified around him. Then it snatched him up into the air. This thing had claws.
Fog devils tear you apart.
A jolting, destructive, naked power lurked at the fog's heart. It had a mind of its own. The tentacle that gripped Rogan swung high, long sparks crackling from it, playing around the struggling figure. Rogan was haloed in fire. Then the tall man disappeared into the center of a white wall. The fog still advanced, slowly, inexorably.
Shit. Oh, shit.
Kurt glanced over his shoulder, back down the ruined road. A wall of fog shifted onward relentlessly. Kurt turned, one hand clutching at his shoulder where blood seeped through the fur. He began to stagger like a drunken man down the rutted road, back toward the Deathlands. Savage eyes watched the line of lights that bobbed gently up and down in the far distance. Preternaturally sensitive ears caught the dull roar and rumble of powerful engines. There was forward movement there, an onward surge. The lights were getting closer by the second. The Watcher had greenish skin that looked at a distance as if it were faintly scaled, though it was not. The scale effect was just that, an odd skin effect, something he could not wipe off, something he had to live with. Some genetic eruption, whose exact origin was unknown. It didn't bother him. He was known as Scale, and that didn't bother him either. Nothing bothered him. Mutation was a matter of complete acceptance among mutants. It was only Norms who got twitchy. He had overlarge eyes, black-rimmed, deep-hollowed. His mouth was wide and thick-lipped. His nose was a slight bulge above the mouth, with two tiny orifices. His sense of smell was almost non-existent. He rose to his feet, snapped long, slender fingers. Another figure, over tall and with very long arms, slipped from behind to hand him a pair of powerful glasses. The man with the faintly scaled skin took the glasses and put them to his eyes and adjusted them. There were maybe 15 vehicles in the convoy, including three big war wagons. The man nodded. The traitor. Only the traitor carried that amount of punch. The traitor was a hard nut to crack. No one had ever managed to take him, though many had tried, both muties and norms. In many ways, the traitor was the most powerful man in the land. He had hardware, high-powered and deadly, and plenty of it. He had fuel supplies, secret and well-hidden, known only to him and his captains, his closest and most trusted confidants. He had contacts, from the civilized East to the primitive West, from the suspicious North to the outright barbaric South. He dealt in weapons, a trade built up over 20 years or more. But he bartered and sold other merchandise too, food, clothes, gadgets, fuel, generators, wisdom, knowledge. He even dispensed justice in the more outlying regions, in the tiny scattered hamlets hundreds of kilometers from the huge baronies of the East and South. He was trusted and he was fair, but he was no simp, and his revenge could be devastating. You did not mess with a traitor. Sure, there were other traders, men and women who traveled the Deathlands in convoy, bartering and haggling, stealing and slaving, picking up merchandise here, selling it there. But none of them traveled the trader's routes, none had his expertise, and none had his nose for the hidden stockpiles that the pre-nuke military men had laid down more than a century before. Those were the plums that everyone wanted to pick. The hidden man-made caverns scattered across the land, stuffed with hardware, fuel, and weaponry. The secret silos that the governments of the day had ordered to be constructed against a time when the world might be in ruins and power shifted solely to those with the muscle and the guns to hold on to it. The irony was that the nuke had been so devastating, so ferocious, so unbelievably swift, that chains of command all over the world had been destroyed more or less at a stroke, and their secrets had been lost with them, lost for nearly a century. Now they were being uncovered, slowly, very slowly, secrets hidden from most of those who had inhabited the land once known as the United States. And mostly they were being uncovered by the traitor, who traveled the land, north, south, east, and west, who probed and poked and dug and excavated, who journeyed far into regions no man had trod for a century, regions no sane man wished to tread. It was said that the traitor had trekked deep into the heart of the fiery Southwest, where hurricane-force winds howled across a moonscape where nothing grew, no man lived. It was said that his land wagons had specially reinforced and adapted roofs, because he journeyed deliberately into regions where the acids could strip a man to his bones in a second. It was rumored that he had even penetrated the mountains overlooking the bleak western coastal strip, had viewed like a conqueror of old the steaming lagoons, the long, jagged fjords thrust deep between craggy peaks, and had sailed the simmering seas, below which vast cities lay crumbling and rotting, as they slept an eternal sleep. All this was said, much of it was true, and the proof was the heart.